Welcome to We Fish ASA. My name is Steve Sarley, and We Fish ASA is always pleased to offer you conversation with the most interesting, the most informative, the most entertaining, as well as some of the biggest names in the world of fishing. We Fish ASA is brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association. We Fish ASA presents a new episode of our one-hour podcast every week for your education and enjoyment. You know, if you love to fish, then We Fish ASA has something for you. We Fish ASA presents tips and techniques to improve your fishing success. We Fish ASA will help you catch not only more fish, but bigger fish as well. Whether it's bass, redfish, trout, muskies, or salmon, and whether it's from lakes, rivers, streams, or saltwater. We Fish ASA talks about the issues that are most important to our sport, things like conservation, the politics of fishing, the threats that face our sport and fishing advocacy, and the preservation of the future of fishing. This is what We Fish ASA is all about. Whether you like to fish by wading on a secluded stream, casting from an open ocean pier, standing on the bank of your local lake, or flipping lures from the deck of a bass boat, We Fish ASA is a must-listen for you every week. We Fish ASA is available 24/7 at iTunes and via the free app from Stitcher Radio. You can find out about these venues at our website, which is wefishasa.com. I'd also like to tell you that We Fish ASA is recorded at Berserk Productions in Arlington Heights, Illinois. And with me is my partner, Mr. Dave Kranz. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing just great. You know, I've known Dave for a long time now, and we've worked together on a number of things. I had a radio show in Chicago for over 10 years, and I had Dave on, and he grew to be a regular segment every week, and we talked about all kind of fishing, and Dave is just a wealth of information. Dave has done just about everything in the outdoors. He's a hunter, a fisherman, a trapper. He's been a retailer for years. He's a professional bass fisherman. If there's anything in the world of outdoors that can be done, I must say that Dave does it and does it well, and I am proud to be his friend and proud to know him. Now, that takes us to today, why we're here in the studio, and it goes back 2 years ago to a 4th of July when I went to a party at Dave's house. I walked in, and what was the first thing you said to me?
I asked you, were you ready to be back on the radio? And I said it wouldn't quite be radio, it would be a podcast, because that's the new way that radio is getting done. And you kind of had a deer in the headlights look at first, but I saw that glint in your eye that you really wanted to be back on, and that's when I told you about the idea of the ASA podcast.
It's a tremendous idea. So in addition to being an all-around great outdoorsman, you were a visionary and a thinker. You were out cutting your grass and thinking about things, and said, we're going to get Steve back on the radio. I'd done the radio for about 10 years, really enjoyed doing it. And Dave liked listening to it. His clients liked listening to it, I think. And he was trying to think of a way to get me back on. And then it evolved into something different than just doing a local Chicago area weekend radio show, because there's a bigger picture. In addition to owning a really great tackle retail store, Dave is probably the busiest guy I know. I don't think he's slept in the last maybe 12, 14 years. He's up at dawn. Everybody says they'd like to own a tackle shop. Well, you own a tackle shop, you better be prepared to put in the hours, and you don't go fishing. Dave does fish. He's a professional fisherman. He makes time for fishing. But he's gotten involved on a local level with the McHenry County Conservation District. He's a board member, and he's working on environmental and conservation issues. He also got involved with the American Sport Fishing Association as a retailer. And a lot of people that are real players in the American Sport Fishing Association are the manufacturers. They're the big guys from the Shimano's and the Pure Fishings and these mega corporations. And Dave said, I can get on this American Sport Fishing Association bandwagon, get on the boards, attend these meetings as a retailer and represent the buying public, their interests and the interests of the retailer that sells to that buying public. And Dave's got a great amount of energy, so he got into this, and that's really what this is all about. Dave, why did you get into ASA?
I got into it because I was convinced to that it was a worthwhile endeavor, and it is. I wish I had joined ASA 20 years ago, because it's a phenomenal group of people, and You get to meet industry people at all levels, their presidents, their vice presidents, their owners of these companies. And the podcast idea came about from attending ASA events like ICAST and like the summit. And I found out that you could make a difference. You could rub elbows with these people from the higher echelons of the industry. And your opinion is very valued because you're on the ground floor dealing with the consumer, who is ultimately all of our customer. But bigger than that is the advocacy of the industry, and to have a chance to make a difference on keeping clean, accessible waters forever for, as we like to say, generations to come.
That's fantastic. And you know, Dave, I always love it. You have your big anniversary sale every spring, and you give away rods and reels and tackle boxes to the kids. And I know you always say that you just get such a charge when somebody comes in and says, thanks for giving my kid that rod. You know, I got my first rod a few years ago when my dad brought me in and you handed me my first rod. And I'm not trying to date you at all, but, you know, we're not kids anymore. And you're moving into that second generation of customers. And you know what, Dave? I am going to say this, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be right. You may not be there when that kid's kid comes in, or that kid's kid comes in, you know, 20 years from now or 40 years from now. But I know, and I can see in your face, the thought of you planting the seed that future generations are going to come in to whoever owns Dave's Bait and Tackle and get a free rod and start their kid fishing makes you happy right now thinking about it.
Absolutely. And it's probably three generations so far. I'm there 27 years, will be my 28th year coming up here in March. But the fact of somebody getting a rod from me, and he got a rod when he was 10, and he's 26 now, or 30, and bringing in a youngster, that it is really awesome to be able to do that. And it definitely makes me feel good that I've done that for the whole time I've been there.
What can I say, folks? Dave Kranz, he's just an all-around good guy, and he's got everybody's involved in our sport. Intentions are for the best for the people who are involved in our sport. He's a great guy, and I'm proud to say he's my friend, and I'm very, very happy to know him. We Fish ASA will be back in a minute. We're going to take a quick break, and then we've got a full roster of guests. Hang with us. We'll be right back. The world gets duped every time. Some new invention or technology comes along, and we're told it's all to make life simpler. It's always the exact opposite, isn't it? Fortunately, we still have fishing, the simple drama of you at one end of a line and a fish at the other end. Of course, more often than not, there's a St. Croix rod in between. St. Croix, handcrafted fishing rods for over 65 years. St. Croix, the best rods on earth.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Do you have plumage? Please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
The outdoors is more than just a profession for us here at Big Rock Sports. As avid anglers, hunters, and outdoor enthusiasts, it's our passion. So advocating on behalf of the outdoor sporting goods industry is a top priority for us. Big Rock Sports is proud to serve as the voice and advocate of outdoor sporting goods retailers across the nation. Big Rock Sports works tirelessly to protect our fisheries and anglers' rights. Big Rock Sports, we are here for you. We Fish ASA is back. Don't forget to check us out at www.wefishasa.com. We are brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association, and that makes our next guest very appropriate, because with us right now, we're very honored to have Mr. Mike Nussman, the president and CEO of the American Sport Fishing Association. How are you today, Mike?
I'm great. Good to be with you today.
Thank you very much. This is Steve, and I'm here with my partner, Dave Kranz. Dave, I think you've got a question for Mr. Nussman.
Well, Mike, we're really excited about this, and we're hoping to get as many people as we can in the industry to join the ASA, as well as have the fishermen join Keep America Fishing. And anything that we can do or any suggestions that you have, we'd love to hear those. And for the life of me, I know you've heard me say it, I do not know why any retailer or anybody at any level of this industry wouldn't be going to ICAST. And for that matter, the Sport Fishing Summit. And I'm sure you would like us to get as many people there as possible.
Well, you know, ICAST's a great show, and obviously we'd love to have as many participants as we can. It's an industry, it's a business-to-business show. It's not a consumer show. But that being said, it does, this year we're going to be well in excess of 10,000 folks down in Orlando in a couple weeks, so it's an exciting time for us, and we think it's an exciting show.
We certainly think it is, too. And for the people out there who are uninformed or unaware, tell us what the American Sport Fishing Association is all about.
Well, see, very simply, ASA is a trade organization. We organize as a nonprofit, meaning all the monies we raise or make go back into the sport, back into the industry. Into campaigns and activities that support fishing and our great sport. We've been around for a good while. We started back in 1933, and the concept was to bring organizations, companies together that were in sport fishing, bring them together for their mutual good. It apparently has worked fairly well. We're still around here in 2016, so it's a time-tested deal. Bring guys together that compete within the industry, but they come together for a short period of time, a show, in the association with their mind. They put a little bit of effort into how we raise the tide for all the ships, all the boats, versus, you know, competing as companies must do and will do in the marketplace.
This is Dave, Mike. It took me a long time to see and figure out that the value of becoming an ASA member and attending the summit and what you really can gain out of there. And hopefully we can beat the drum and get more people involved. When I go to dealer shows, I talk to many retailers, and I believe I've convinced some to join. The number of how many of the retailers get it is kind of sad in a way. I don't get why people don't want to be involved in their industry and take it to the next level. So hopefully we're going to be able to do that and help all of us, like you said, with the rising tide. We look forward to trying to help.
You know, the simple reason to be part of ASA is the industry's organization. Now, you know as well as I do, business, virtually every business is tough out there. It's competitive, a difficult environment. The economy seems like, you know, presents new challenges every day. So for you to focus some of your time and some of your effort as a retailer or as any part of this industry or any industry for that matter, it's hard for you to take that your eye off your own business, your own activity. But, you know, what we found is that people that come and that participate, they conclude, like you have, that it's very valuable. It adds more to their business than the time and effort that it takes you have to put into it. So fundamentally, I think, you know, what we try and do is like we did with you, get you to participate with us, try it out, see if it brings value. If it does, then it's something you should continue. And if it doesn't, well, then people, you know, vote with their feet and they don't come back. But more and more, we see people that come to our summit or to our trade show returning each and every year. And I've had many retailers, the ones that come, say, "Geez, I don't know why all my competitors aren't here." But some of them aren't quite as kind as you, and they say, "But as long as my competitors aren't here, I'm happy they're not, and I'm going to take advantage of it." So, Dave, we thank you for all your hard work.
Yeah, that's great effort that Dave puts in each and every day. We're here with Mike Nussman. He's the president and CEO of the American Sport Fishing Association. And, Mike, I know you said that this is a trade association, and it's not something for the public, but I am going to beseech the public to get involved in this, because everybody that fishes from coast to coast, they go to a retailer, they go to a bait shop, they go to a tackle store. And in order for them to participate most fully in the sport, they need to be taught correctly. They need to know what's new, what's exciting, what's vibrant out there, what's going to help them catch more fish. And if their local retailer is not on board with the ASA and going to a show like ICAST and seeing the products, meeting the players, watching the demos, seeing about this great, great product and all the new stuff coming out, they're selling their clientele short. So we are basically going to be asking the public, when they go into a bait shop, whether you're buying a rod and reel or you're buying a dozen night crawlers, ask the bait shop proprietor, hey, are you going to this big ICAST down in Orlando? No. Why not? Don't you want to find out about all the stuff you can sell me? I'm dying to buy the latest stuff. Go down there and learn about it. And I think if we can put some pressure on them from the public, moving up the pyramid in a different direction, I think we can help get a lot of these retailers involved.
Well, clearly, what moves in any industry, what moves the industry along, what brings progress are new products. It's the excitement, it's the innovation, it's, you know, the public, in any activity, you like to see the new stuff. The old stuff you've seen for a year or two or five or 25, the new stuff's the stuff that really kind of turns you on. And from a retailer's perspective, that's also the stuff that jumps off the shelf. So if you're, once again, if you are in this business, to us, it always makes a lot of sense to make sure you know what's new, what's out there, what will work in your marketplace. You know, not every product works in every marketplace, but, you know, when you go to ICAST, you almost always come away with a few products that you think, boy, I can make some money on these. So we think that makes a lot of sense for any retail shop around the country.
Absolutely. This is Dave again. And I also think what's not going to be there next year is very important to a retailer, as it is to myself. The finding out the products that are going to be discontinued or possibly modified to become better. And the retailers definitely can gain a level of spending time with their reps that they see come through their door when they're busy. Sometimes they're still waiting on customers, but you get a different perspective of the industry. And like I've always said, before I joined the ASA, I was in an industry, and afterwards I felt like I was the industry, which is a big difference in how you feel about how you're making a living.
Right.
Yeah, we've got to ensure our future. We've got to plant seeds for the future, and the ASA is the best way to get that going. You know, it's something that we've got to do. We've got to get all of these people at that level involved in it, and of course, we'll talk more about this in the future. You know, we're going to take a quick break. I'd like to thank Mike Nussman, the president and CEO of the American Sport Fishing Association, from taking some time from his very busy schedule to be with us. And Mike, you are certainly always invited back to the We Fish ASA podcast to talk about whatever you feel is important to the ASA and the future of fishing. Please join us again anytime. We're going to take a quick break here. Thank you very much, Mike. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of We Fish ASA, which is brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association.
I'm professional angler Kevin Van Dam, and people always ask me, what's the best and easiest way to catch fish? Well, that's simple. Keep our waterways clean and free of litter. You know, tossing your worn-out lures in the lake is not a winning move. Pitch them in the trash. Do your part and join me. Visit KeepAmericaFishing.org and pledge to pitch it.
Welcome back to We Fish ASA, the podcast that is brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association. I'm Steve Sarley. I'm here with my partner, Dave Kranz. And we're very, very pleased to welcome Mr. Glenn Hughes, who is the Vice President of Industry Relations for the American Sport Fishing Association. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, Steve and Dave.
Hey, that's quite a title. That is quite a title. You must have an extra large business card.
We try to squeeze it all in there, but it's really all about the members and all about the sport fishing industry. So whatever I can do to help communicate what we're trying to do from a government affairs side to working with each other and working with other industries, we try to communicate the message of our industry and for the betterment of the sport.
That's interesting. And, you know, I've always preached for years in my broadcasting and my writing that we need to support other related sports beside fishing. I tell fishermen, I'll say something about the Second Amendment, and they'll say, you know, I really don't care because I'm not a hunter, I'm not a shooter. And I say, well, you know what? The same people that are trying to take the shooter's guns away are the same people that are going to try to take your fishing rights away. They want to close waterways, close access to fishery. We really need to work hand in hand as outdoors people, and I like the way you're talking about that interaction with other segments.
Well, that's exactly right. So we work closely with the National Shooting Sports Foundation. That's really, they have a terrific trade show as well. We work closely with the NMMA, National Marine Manufacturers Association. They're very important in the boating world. And then with assorted groups around there that have outdoor industry associations, and even RVs and motorcycles, believe it or not.
Glenn, this is Dave again. I know your primary focus probably at this time of year is to get people to attend ICAST, to get the people to experience it if they haven't for the first time, and really try to drive it home. I think if you get them there once, that they see the value of it. They can see the vastness of it. Part of the problem, though, I think sometimes is people are overwhelmed and they need to take it a booth at a time, not even an aisle at a time, because it is so big and so immense. You can definitely get nervous looking at that show floor. But the show from the years that I've gone to, it just has been better and better all the time. And I would say the same thing that we said to Mike, to you, that anything we can do to help drive that, we would love to help get more people to there.
Well, thanks, Dave. Like you say, you know, the show is rather massive, and to do it right, you really need to be there for the duration, and that's from Tuesday morning through Friday afternoon. You can't see the show in a day. You can't see it in 2 days if you're going to do it right, and nowhere else can you see all the leaders of the industry under one roof. And it's not just the sales guys, it's not just the marketing guys, it's the presidents and it's vice presidents and owners of these companies. You'll never have a better chance to sit and speak with them about their products and about their vision for their products in the industry than you can right there. So anything we can do to try to make sure that the retailers realize that 2 days away from their shop's not going to so much go out of business as much as it's going to flourish with the information and ideas they come back with and product for them to sell through their store.
And, you know, you're right, it is massive. The first time I was at ICAST, I was totally amazed by the size of it. It's just incredible. And it's even bigger. And going back to what you were saying about being interrelated with other functions, you guys have expanded this year, and you are also working with the fly fishing people and the boating people this year. So this is a show that's going to be like no other you've ever staged.
So fortunately, we've had a good relationship with the American, and this will be the, I think, fourth now show that we've done with them. The addition of the, great relationship with the NMMA. So to have a marine pavilion there, another 50-plus booths from the marine industry will be mostly marine accessories. Give a chance for these fishing tackle dealers to not only realize some of the other products they might carry, because a lot of their people that are buying products also own boats, but also for us to bring a little bit more of the marine dealers, because a lot of the boat dealers carry some level of fishing tackle, or they should, because it's a great way to add more money to the bottom line and to provide their customers with what they need and want.
as a retailer, I'm always looking for that little item, whether it's a marine accessory or I expanded on fly quite a bit after the a few years ago. What is it, 4 or 5 years ago when the fly came in with us, and I got to get a lot of new product, whether that's fly materials or flies itself and lines, backings, different things I never would get to see at a normal ASA ICAST. So I did appreciate that, and I am looking forward to seeing a lot of the marine exhibits also. And there's another reason why you need to take advantage of one day won't cut it, and also the other things that are involved there as far as doing the Bass and Birdies, or myself, I've done the last 2 years. This will be second year at the ICAST Cup. I love doing that. You get to meet other people in the industry and get a whole different perspective of what we're really all about.
Yeah, that really adds some fun to the week, to add a day where if people want to golf, they can golf in a tournament where there's actually golfing on the golf course and there's fishing on four or five of the holes, which is fun. And adding an ICAST on the water last year gave another 50 of our exhibitors a chance to share product on a demo type basis to be able to really demonstrate it to the buyers and to the media folks there for a few hours, and at the same time hold this ICAST Cup and give the industry professionals, a combination of the media and buyers, a chance to get out on the water and try to catch a couple of bass over a few hours and have some fun doing it. So we see that growing this year. And it adds to the value of their experience during the course of ICAST week.
I'll tell you something else, and we haven't mentioned this yet, but one of the things that I find most exciting, and I would think that anybody in this industry, we're talking, you know, retailers, you know, proprietors, bait shop owners, people like that, you're down there, you're going to see every famous fisherman you've ever seen before on TV. You've got the Roland Martins and the Bill Dances, you know, the old school guys. You've got the younger guys that are tearing up the Bassmaster right now. I don't care, you know, walleye, bass, muskie, they're all there. You go from booth to booth, and these guys are walking around. And what can you do better to help people when you go back home and learn, teach them to catch more fish than saying, you know, I was talking to Boyd Duckett, and he told me that when he's using plastics, blah, 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 and you go forth like, my goodness, you've got stories to tell your customers. Your customers are going to, you talk like that, your customers are going to think you're a genius. Wow, I buy bait from a guy that rubs elbows with Mike Iaconelli. You know, I think that is just so cool. What an attraction that has to be.
You know, Steve, what's great about that is that we're all kids in the candy store at the show, and that includes the professionals. They love coming to the show. They love not only seeing all the folks that they work with, but they have a great time learning about the new product as well. They're as excited as anybody, and it's contagious. And so we feel people come out of there not only enthused for going fishing, but for their businesses, and really sets the stage for the coming year.
That's fantastic. You know, I've got to ask you, get off the topic for a minute. You know, you guys, we just had Mike Nussman, the president, on. We've got Glenn Hughes on right now, the vice president of industry relations for ASA. It's a job. What you do is a job, and it's a passion. Do you get any time to fish?
As always, it's never enough time to fish, but we may have been up in Sturgeon Bay this morning searching for walleye, and I may have been fishing for red snapper 2 weeks ago during the 9-day federal red snapper season in the Gulf of Mexico, and I may have fished last weekend in the Poconos of Pennsylvania, and I may have fished last month, but in the grand scheme of things, it's never enough.
Not enough. And you know what? At some point in the future, we're going to either talk to you or get somebody on and talk about that 9-day season and what the whole deal is with that and how that impacts the rest of the fishing world. But that's not for here. Dave and I'd like to thank you for being on. Glenn Hughes, Vice President, Industry Relations for the American Sport Fishing Association. Thanks, Glenn. We'll see you down at ICAST. We are going to take...
Thanks, guys.
You're quite welcome. We're going to take a quick break. This is the We Fish ASA podcast. We are brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association, and we will be right back. voted the best saltwater rod at the 2015 ICAST convention. St. Croix's Avid Series inshore rods are completely redesigned for 2016. That's right, a great rod becomes even better. The Avid Inshore Series are exceptional inshore rods designed and built to excel in the toughest saltwater environments and handle the biggest fish. Why trust that fish of a lifetime to any other fishing rod? St. Croix, handcrafting fishing rods for over 65 years. St. Croix, the best rods on earth.
I'm professional angler Kevin Van Dam, and people always ask me, what's the best and easiest way to catch fish? Well, that's simple. Keep our waterways clean and free of litter. You know, tossing your worn-out lures in the lake is not a winning move. Pitch them in the trash. Do your part and join me. Visit keepamericafishing.org and pledge to pitch it.
Calcutta. We're an outdoor coastal trading company that builds gear and apparel for those with a passion for the outdoors. Born in the back of a Florida bait and tackle shop, Calcutta was created with a rebellious spirit and a goal to offer hardworking outdoor products at a reasonable price. Calcutta builds the products that fit your lifestyle. We're on a mission to help you reclaim your free time and to declare mutiny on the mundane. Depend on Calcutta gear and apparel. This is We Fish ASA, and we are back. I'm Steve Sarley here with my partner, the one and only Dave Kranz, and joining us right now is a gentleman who is a regional sales manager for St. Croix. You know, St. Croix builds the best rods on earth. We all know that, and his name is Mr. Dan Johnson. Hey, Dan, how are you today?
Very good, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. You know, Dan Johnson, we're big fans. Dave and I are big fans of St. Croix, and a shout out to everybody, our friends up at the factory, the Schluters, Jeff, Dave, and Paul, Rich Ballinger, and Jesse Simpkins, of course. I know they're all listening and expecting you to just absolutely perform wonders here, which I know you're going to, and I wanted to say hello to them. Ask you right off the bat, in all honesty, what the heck is St. Croix doing with us here at We Fish ASA? Why are you hooked up with us?
Well, it's a great fit. You know, some of the people you mentioned are really part of my family. And I mentioned that in the largest training clinics that I do for our company in the country. It's literally a family atmosphere, and it's really in a literal sense. And they conduct their business that way. And when you conduct your business that way, there's a lot of care and concern about not only the people that you work for, but the final consumer and the retailers. You look at ASA's mission, there's a lot of care and concern. And what they do for the industry, what they fight for, what they believe in, is just directly concurrent with what we believe in. So it was a very natural fit to me when Dave approached me with this idea a while back. I had no doubt that St. Croix was going to get behind it. I'm not the one that makes the decision on it, but I had no doubt because it's a very natural fit.
That is fantastic and good explanation. You know, one of the things that I admire most about St. Croix is the fact that for many, many years, we thought of you as a little company up in Park Falls, Wisconsin. It was making some really nice, a little company making some really nice rods up there. But you guys have grown to a behemoth. You make a lot of rods. You're a leader in the industry right now, and we are proud to have you. And it's great to have the kind of business that you have, but you are laying a foundation for the future. You are very involved with advocacy and growing this sport and bringing it into it, bringing more and more people into it. And, you know, Dave here works so hard on getting kids and families involved. And he's in the retail business, and he may not be in the retail business 50 years from now, but he's going to have some responsibility for a lot of the people going fishing 50 years from now being there because Dave planted the seeds, because St. Croix planted the seeds.
Yeah, I would, you know, comment on that on a couple fronts. First of all, with regards to Dave, not only is he a customer of mine, but we've become very good friends, and large in part because of what he stands for. Obviously, he's a leading Chicago retailer, but he does things for the right reasons. And I'm not just saying that because he's sitting there with us. I'm saying that because I mean it. From all of the volunteer work, all his extra hours on the side, He's been a phenomenal partner to us in the Chicago market, like I've mentioned in my seminar that I do with him every year at the Schaumburg Show. It's very lucky to have him as a retailer. With regards to St. Croix, I think we still do have a little guy mentality. We have gotten bigger, no question. We're the leader in technology. We're the leader in the market. But we have a little guy tech mentality. We don't take anything for granted. We appreciate every single customer we have, really, to the point to where we strive to improve every single day. And it's all really goes back to that family atmosphere and that concern. We really care about the customer experience on the water, and folks are a name and not a number with us. And it's one thing I hear all the time. When they purchase a rod from us, they feel like they've become part of our group, and it means a lot to me.
Well, Dan, having attended your national sales meeting, and I was truly honored by Paul inviting me to do that and taking the factory tour, everybody in that company cares about the end result, cares about the consumer, cares about the dealers, and was really an eye-opening experience to go through there and see the quality and the hand craftsmanship that goes into every single rod. It's not a production rod. It is as close to a custom rod as you're going to get made on a massive scale, but everyone in that factory has a passion for what they do, and I definitely appreciated that.
Our product quality is of paramount concern to us, and one thing I've mentioned in the past, and I kind of say it off the cuff, kind of get some chuckles sometimes when I'm doing a training clinic or a seminar, but one thing I do say, and I do mean it, is if people were to tour our factory one time, they would have a very difficult time buying another branded rod ever again. And you get it, Dave. You've been through it, and you've seen it now. I've been through it many, many, many times. And that statement doesn't come out of bias for me. It comes from sincerity. I've seen how they're built, the multiple stages, the extra efforts, the expensive resins, the laser alignments, the quality controls are unbelievable. And that's one reason I try to push people so hard to get into one, is because I know what they're getting. I've been with the company for 17 years now. I fished them long before that. I know what I'm getting, and when you fish as hard as I do, I like to be confident with what I'm doing and what I'm using, and we have many, many, many customers that believe that. So, like I said, we appreciate every single one of them.
Hey, Dan, that's great, and I like what you're saying. I like what Dave is saying about the factory, and I think it's a good time to bring up the fact that you guys are doing something rather new. You're inviting the general public. You're inviting your customers up to the facility at Park Falls, Wisconsin, to see how these rods are made. Tell us about that.
You know, it's something we have done in the past, and there was a time we suspended it a little bit. We're very proactive on it now, and I'm really glad. We have a gentleman that actually recently retired with us that's going to be one of the leaders on the factory tours. We really kind of had an emotional little going away thing for him at the sales meeting, just a super guy. His name's Ken. And Ken really epitomizes who we are, what we've been, and what we stand for. And that, back to your point, you know, we just openly invite people to see not only what we do. I think people will learn a lot about rod manufacturing. I think it'll be very intriguing, and, you know, certainly a lot of information behind it. I think it would help the customer understand how they're made. But most importantly to me, it's going to get people connected to the soul of who we are. That's kind of my introspective look at it. But when they see that's what really makes me happy about the fact that we're doing these tours. Because like Dave mentioned, the people up there are phenomenal. Hardworking. They don't take anything for granted. Very appreciative of what they put on the market. And they're very selfless people. So, you know, it's really going to come on two fronts. They're going to learn a lot about rod manufacturing. It's the most technologically advanced rod manufacturing facility on the planet. We have a lot of proprietary manufacturing things that take place up there, many of which are evidenced by the acronyms on our rods that you can research on our website. But again, more importantly, it's the soul of the people behind what we do is why I'm most excited about that tour.
Hey, Dan, I'll tell you something. I built a rod 2 years ago, and I'll tell you this. It obviously was in no way anywhere near St. Croix quality. But I think you guys sell your product too cheap, because there was nothing more frustrating than building a rod, and you guys make the perfect rods, the best rods on earth, at reasonable prices, and anybody can take a tour of the St. Croix factory. All you have to do is go to stcroix.com, correct?
Well, yeah, StCroixRods.com.
StCroixRods.com, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. You can contact us that way, and I do appreciate that. I don't believe in perfection. I think we're certainly striving towards it, but I think one of the most attractive things about our company is we don't believe that we are perfect. We're far from it, but we do strive to become that, and we do that through listening, through innovation, through leading in technology, and updating and expanding the factory and new machines, and it's a constant quest towards perfection. You know, the last thing I'd want to say is that we're there, and I think that's a very humble look at it. I think anytime you want to be real good at what you do, you have to be very critical about what you're doing, and you have to always work towards improvement, and boy, we just really do a good job of that. I'm really appreciative of all the people up there that do that.
StCroixRods.com. We're going to be right back, Dan Johnson, and when we come back, we're going to talk fishing, and I've made the promise that Dan Johnson's going to make everybody better fishermen, so take a couple minutes to get set and think about that, and we will be right back. Don't forget, folks, We Fish ASA is brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association, and if you'd be interested in becoming an advertising partner of the We Fish ASA podcast, like our friends from St. Croix Rods, please contact us through our website, wefishasa.com. We'll be right back. It takes experience, dedication, and talent to build a premium fishing rod, and St. Croix's team of expert rod builders are the best. It takes over 30 pairs of hands to complete 3 dozen different steps in the manufacturing of a St. Croix rod. And now everyone has a chance to see firsthand how the best rods on earth are handcrafted in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Each rod is a product of the passion and attention to detail of the talented people who make them. For more information on factory tours, check StCroixRods.com.
Hey, I thought you and the boys were doing some environmental cleanup thing today.
We are.
Well, it looks more like you're going fishing.
We are.
And that's the example you're setting for our children.
Uh-huh.
Conservation is easy. Every time you purchase a fishing license or register your boat, you're helping to preserve our nation's coastlines, lakes, rivers, and streams, protecting memories for generations to come. To learn about all the ways your participation in boating and fishing help the environment, visit takemefishing.org/conservation.
The outdoors is more than just a profession for us here at Big Rock Sports. As avid anglers, hunters, and outdoor enthusiasts, it's our passion. So advocating on behalf of the outdoor sporting goods industry is a top priority for us. Big Rock Sports is proud to serve as the voice and advocate of outdoor sporting goods retailers across the nation. Big Rock Sports works tirelessly to protect our fisheries and anglers' rights. Big Rock Sports, we are here for you. We Fish ASA is back. You know, we're brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association. And with us again is Mr. Dan Johnson, regional sales manager from St. Croix, and also one of the best sticks around. Honest to goodness, this guy can fish. And we've got him on, and we're going to spend a little time talking about how Dan Johnson is going to make you all better fishermen. What can you give us? Give us a couple of those hot tips, Dan. Come on.
Yeah, well, yeah, you set the bar awful high for me. There's certainly the guy sitting right next to you that's at a very high level as well that could certainly do this segment. But I appreciate the compliment. I think the biggest thing is to not overthink things in fishing. I think we need to take our blinders off a lot of times. And I follow basic principles. Obviously, the season transgresses through spring, summer, fall, different patterns, really into ice. I do a lot of ice fishing, too. And this is really applies to all species. I look for bait. I try to find bait locations. I try to find structure locations. I try to find bait on structure. A lot of times, I am fishing for bait and not the fish, and people don't really know what I mean by that. And what I'm trying to tell them is if I know somebody's hungry, and I want to talk to them, I'm going to hang out by the refrigerator. They're going to come to that eventually. And sometimes it's an interesting analogy, but a lot of times people think, well, bass, shallow, spring, black-blue jig, get in the wind, north coves are warm, south coves, and they try to go through what the book says. But a lot of times if you just find the bait. And our electronics nowadays are just phenomenal for that. With structure scan and side imaging, a lot of times I'm looking for nothing but bait in the spring. I'll look at the size of that bait, and then I'll just apply the normal tactics to try to catch them, and there's a million of them out there. And that really, you know, goes into the summer when you get thermoclines, different oxygen levels deeper. Think about those things. And in the fall, they're going to feed up big time. Your bait's bigger. You'll see a lot of people throwing, you know, late into the fall, big topwaters, big baits. And people, a lot of people will say, well, you want to throw a bigger bait in the fall, but they don't really explain why. And why that is, a lot of it revolves back around simplifying things. And that wasn't my idea. I've been so blessed to be around so many people that fish at such a high level. I've learned these things from everybody, really. I'm not going to take a whole lot of credit for it, but I will tell you how I feel about my approach to it. And what that approach does, it allows you to catch them anywhere you go, whether it's northern Wisconsin or in Florida, over on Lake Erie, if we're going to the ocean. Look at it from that perspective. Try to find out what they're feeding on, what size the bait is. Are they going to want it fast or slow? You know, they're the temperature of the water. You got to slow it down when it's cold, speed it up when it's hot, generally speaking. And just simplify it and think about that. And all you got to do is open a catalog or go to Dave's Bait and Tackle and look at the inventory, look at the lures and say, you know what, that looks like a shad in the spring. It's got a shallow lip on it. They're going to be going to that warm water. I'm going to try that, and lo and behold, it'll work. So, a lot of times simplification is key.
I like what you're saying.
We could expound a lot on line size. You know, some people talk about the polyethylene lines that don't stretch, the fluorocarbons that are clear that sink, to monofilaments where you throw topwaters. That's critical, absolutely critical. Dave and I would disagree on a couple of things that we do. Both techniques work. But long story short, make sure you talk to somebody. Get a resource. Right there in Chicago, man. I mean, that's what I mean about people being so lucky. Go to Dave, go to his staff, ask those guys, what kind of line do I use with a Verispook? You don't want to use a fluorocarbon because it sinks. What kind of line do I want to use if I get bit way out on a long cast? Well, probably Braid because it doesn't stretch. They'll tell you all that. They'll help you. It'll make you so much more successful. There's so much information right at people's fingertips if they just ask, and he's a great resource for that.
I agree with you, Dan, on the bait. If you can find the fish, you can catch them. And the matching the bait size in the spring where it's smaller, and then later in the fall, you going to a bigger bait and just finding that bait. A lot of times on, like you said, the electronics, you'll get to see those arcs below the big pods of bait. And normally the ones that are just sitting there, they're not normally active fish. But sometimes when you see those arcs and they're streaking across your depth finder screen, you definitely know that there's some active ones in there. But there's a lot of things guys can do to learn how to do this and how to do it properly, and a lot easier today than what we had to learn without the benefit of going to YouTube and seeing a video on almost anything you want to see in the world.
Well, and there's no doubt about it. And one other thing I would add to that is we all feel like pros first light and right before dark. You know, it's just a lot of times they're great. But what I try to tell people, I did a crappie seminar a couple of years ago in my home state, and some guy was telling me, well, you know, crappie fishing is real difficult when it gets windy. And a lot of times, what my response is, it's exactly what I look for. Have the wind be your friend. There's a diminishing return. You don't want to blow in 50. But I like to fish with a little bit of wind. It cuts down your light penetration. A lot of times it'll move to shallower. A lot of times if you find them shallow, they're there for the right reason and they want to eat. They're less spooky. You can get away with heavier line. You can get away with a faster retrieve. You can cover a lot more water because our strike zone increases. They're going to take it from a further distance because they're more turned on. So sometimes if you're struggling and having a difficult time, don't necessarily. There are exceptions to this. If you're bed fishing or in the spring, you're trying to sight fish flats. I get all that. But if you're struggling sometimes during the day on a sunny day in clear water, get in the wind. Try it. Make you know, you can make shorter casts with it. You can cast at targets. Try to always hit the upwind side of things. Remember that, where the wind is coming into. And use that to your advantage, too. It's so funny. I'm out in the lake so many times, and it starts blowing pretty good. And everybody gets out of it, and I've got all the best spots to myself. because they'll act as fish. A lot of times they're going to be where they got a little bit going on, a little bit of noise, a little bit of wind moving around, pushes the bait around. So let the wind be your friend.
I like that. Let the wind be your friend. And you know, Dan, there's no perfect condition. It's never exactly the way you want it. It's never textbook. And like you said about the guy who did not like the wind, sometimes people are reading the wrong textbook.
Yeah, well, and again, there's exceptions to everything. There's times when, matter of fact, sometimes I've been throwing a suspending jerkbait in the spring when I'm sight fishing it, where I can see it. And I'll want to get out of the wind so I can see the fish take the bait. And there are exceptions to it. But, you know, generally speaking, I look at the, and I know Dave does this too, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, I believe in lunar phases and fishing times. I absolutely believe in that. I do not think it's snake oil. I think that's why deer move at certain times. I know that's why tides move at certain times. And I know that's why fish feed at certain times. I'm convinced of it. I think there's a bigger plan Mother Nature's laid out, and man, we're not smart enough to figure a lot of those things out, so sometimes we just have to go with it. But that being said, I look at the barometer big time. You know, I do not want high pressure, clear blue, high skies. I will downsize, lighter lines, smaller baits, deeper water. I'll do all those things. Those fish will suck right into cover, and I start there in those barometric conditions where if it's low, storm coming in, clouds are low, sometimes I'll go big and ugly and fast, and the big fish are feeding. You want to cover a lot of water, and they're going to bite better. So try to... Here's a long story short, kind of an encapsulation. Think about what's going on before you go. Look at the weather. Look at the barometric pressure. Look the way the wind's going to be blowing. Maybe look at a map. Boy, it's blowing into those 3 points today. Is it spring? Is it summer? Is it fall? What size is the bait going to be? Is the water clear? Do I have to go chartreuse? Do I have to go clear? What do I think about those things? And you're going to save yourself most times, not always. Most times you're going to save yourself a lot of time running around just with a little bit of pre-planning. And I think that applies to all walks.
I agree with you, Dan. And you know what? I asked you to make us better fishermen. I think you did. All we need to do is take what you said and put it into practice. We'll have Dan Johnson on with us very, very regularly, folks. I think he's just a wealth of information. I'd like to thank you very much for being with us. Thank Roy Rods for being with us every week. Well, Dave Kranz, that wraps up the launch of the maiden voyage of the We Fish ASA podcast. I'd like to thank today's guests, my partner, Dave Kranz. Dave, thanks for being here. Mike Nussman, he's the president and CEO of the American Sport Fishing Association. We visited with Glenn Hughes, the VP of Industry Relations for the American Sport Fishing Association. And we just finished with one of the best fishermen on the planet, Dan Johnson from St. Croix. I'd like to thank our sponsors, St. Croix. They make the best rods on earth. And Big Rock Sports, makers of the Calcutta line of products that fit your fishing lifestyle and fishing passion. We Fish ASA is brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association. Please check out asafishing.org, takemefishing.org, and keepamericafishing.org. The future of our sport is in your hands, my friends. Remember that We Fish ASA presents a new episode of our one-hour podcast every week for your education and enjoyment. We Fish ASA is available 24/7 at iTunes and via the free app from Stitcher Radio. You can find out about these venues at our website, wefishasa.com. If you like what you hear, please let us know. If there's something you'd like to hear us talk about or somebody we should have on the show, please let us know that too. Now get out there and do some fishing. We'll see you next week.